Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
Well, it's 7:54 a.m. I am standing outside of the Jamie Padron police substation in North Austin. I got here at 6:30, but as I was told to, I got here at 6:30. The Uber dropped me off. It was dark. And I called the sergeant and then the deputy sergeant, as I was told to do, and they didn't answer, so I found a police officer who seemed to be testing his taser on the top of his cop car, and I asked if he knew where I went to go on a ride along, and he took me inside and he said, wait right here. And then at 7:30, I started looking in any little window I could find in the abandoned police station waiting room. And then at 7:40, I decided I'd go outside, which means now I've been locked out of the police station, and there are no cop cars here. So, and now I'm just standing outside of the police station. Well, I'm in here now. Someone came and got me. They thought I was a Citizen Police Academy member, and so they said I got lost in the shuffle. And I'm in an evidence room. It looks like an evidence-detailed room. I said I was with the media, and the sergeant, deputy sergeant, said no one ever told her someone was coming from the media today. And so I'm just looking at all of these different types of evidence bags.
For years, I've wanted more than anything to ride along with a police officer, just to see everything that happens, what the job is actually like. I'm very interested in work, what people do every day in their jobs. And so I was so happy to finally be at a police station in Austin, Texas. They told me I could see everything that happened in that car during an entire shift, 6:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. A patrol sergeant came and got me, introduced me to Officer Edward Ruff, and we started our day. I'm Phoebe Judge. This is Criminal.
Do you think that many police officers are wary of speaking with reporters and press?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't a police officer. I wouldn't. I mean, it's just something I would not seek after to want to be on some kind of media format. I think that's just based on the individual. There's some guys that love social media and talking and all that kind of stuff. I'm a quiet guy. I don't really do all that.
And here I am.
I'm
here I'm in this car with you, this big microphone.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sociable. You know, I don't mind conversing with anybody, but it's just, it can be a very uncomfortable feeling with a microphone. You know, you don't want to be misunderstood and all that kind of stuff, so.
Do you ever talk to to try to reassure someone who you have in the back of the car you've had to arrest? Or do you not really talk?
I tend to talk to them because I'm because I'm black, and unfortunately some of the people that we arrest are black. I can, and I'm older, so I have a tendency of talking to them, and it a lot of times it brings them down. They calm down. They're not as
scared
and prone to anger and violence when they see somebody that's talking to them in a manner which is very conversational. I say, hey, man, you know, just relax. Everything's cool. You know, I'll let you get a phone call when you get to the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And just trying to reassure him that, listen, this is nothing personal. He don't want to go to jail, of course, but it's nothing personal. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Officer Ruff has been with the Austin Police Department for 10 years. He joined the department after retiring from the Army, where he served for 24 years. He's not from Texas, but Beloit, Wisconsin. He moved down when he was stationed at Fort Hood. He patrols an area in North Austin. And while the computer in his patrol car had a virtual map showing him exactly where to go, he didn't look at it much. He knew his way around.
I'm 10-8 and now 75.
Incident assigned.
All right, so we're getting ready to go to a call.
Okay. What is the
campaign office?
The campaign office, there's a threatening note, a pig's head, at the Beto O'Rourke office.
Yeah, let's jump on that and see what that's about.
We made our way to the campaign office of Democratic Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke. He's running against the incumbent Republican, former presidential candidate Ted Cruz.
A person seen advise FBI was out earlier this morning for other threats. Wow. Check it out.
This is a controversial Senate race that you know, Cruz and Beto O'Rourke.
Yes, yes. I'm not a big politician guy, so I don't really follow that too. I you know, obviously he's had a lot of commercials out campaigning for his election, so I know there's something going on, but interesting. We'll have to check that out. Ready?
Yep.
Severed pig's head. I think originally it was on.
There were already two officers in front of the office. We met with a staffer out front. The pig's head was found on a stake in front of the office with a note that read, "Down with imperialist pigs. Elections no. Revolution yes."
Someone who was, I guess you could probably best describe them as a bystander.
Honestly, no one working there seemed too concerned. One high-level staffer just continued talking on his phone. When an officer went over to get his attention, he put his finger up. "Just 1 minute, please." The officers made notes, the pig's head was cleaned up, and we got back in the car.
Don't ever say it's slow right now, because if you say it, then you're jinxing yourself and it's gonna blow up and everything's gonna, you know. But for the most part, I'm saying it because it's almost 11 o'clock. People are going to start waking up, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I'm saying it.
Are you a superstitious cop?
No, not. I've never really been a superstitious person. Not me. You?
I think I'd like to be more superstitious than I am. I think it's kind of fun to have. I think I'm too practical to be.
I think that's our Midwest, you know, whatever, you know, we'll deal with it.
New waiting incident.
It was now 11:31. We were headed to a probation office to pick up someone who had violated their parole.
Okay. So she just put out over the radio that, that the guy that we're going to pick up is supposed to be armed and dangerous. That's one of the cautions he has on his history. So we take that in account when we have to approach him and things like that. I'm clear. I just got the light. I'm heading northbound on camera from 183. So, did you hear that over the radio?
No, he's waiting for you.
He's going to wait for me till I get there. Apparently, this guy is a little upset already. So, we want to go in there together and deal with this as opposed to him just going in there by himself.
Because you're taking him to jail.
Because he's going to be taken to jail. I'm not going to take him personally.
But that's what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know if he knows that or...
That is what is...
That's what's going to happen. That's definitely what's going to happen.
I guess I'd be upset, too.
I would, too. Yeah. She's with us, and you ready to go ahead and detain him?
She's bringing him in. He's not to see us, and then he's going to be in a room, and we'll go get him.
She's going to bring him in here?
No, in another room, and we'll go in the other room and just scoop him up, put him in cuffs. Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, just go behind him and
let's go.
Each grab an arm and just...
Yep, let's do it.
Stop thinking of arrest, all right? Stand up.
The man didn't put up any fight. He looked tired. He was a tiny, skinny man, maybe in his 60s, with a baseball hat on. He was put into the other officer's car. They checked to make sure his handcuffs didn't hurt him. He asked us to tell his friend, waiting for him in the parking lot, that he wouldn't need a ride home. Next, at 12:17, someone called about a naked man who was yelling.
Typically... When somebody takes off their clothes, that could indicate that somebody is on PCP because their body gets hot and they tend to strip off their clothes, and it's a very serious situation because. People on PCP tend to, they don't feel a lot of pain, so, and they're incoherent, they don't understand directions and stuff like that, so, it'll be interesting how this, how that call
is. Your incident has been updated.
And that's where we're on our way now.
That's where we're on our way.
What have you learned? What is happening?
So far, on this call?
Yeah.
That... Loud yelling in background. Subject is a black male. Complaining to have an issue speaking.
Okay. Has been updated.
All right. They said the subject left on foot, walking towards St. John's. Looks like they are coming this way, so.
We eventually found the man, who had his clothes back on now, walking down an alley. Officer Ruff and another patrol car stopped him, kind of trapping him in a V-shape. With the two cars. The man sat down on the curb. He seemed completely out of it, but kept refusing help. He was able to name the city we were in and the date. EMS showed up, but he refused any help. So there wasn't much more to do. He hadn't committed any crime. He was not in any apparent medical danger.
They're taking care of that. We got an animal service call. Let's see. Dog run around and scratch we're trying to bite. Small brown dog has not actually bitten anyone yet. Complaint doesn't need contact. All right, all right, we'll take care of that one. Now what is this?
Someone had called 911 to complain that a loose chihuahua was running after people and trying to bite them.
Okay, what that means.
So now we're going to find the dog.
We're going to find the dog. So.
Well, no one could ever say it's... a boring day.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, every day is different. You know, some calls a little bit more, the level of stress, or not stress, but concern is more than some of your typical calls. So we are at 3405. So this is the area where that dog was seen. It's supposed to be a little brown dog. And the person that called it, I think, came from 3405.
There's 3404.
You seen the dog? That way. What kind of dog, man?
Huh?
What kind of dog?
I didn't hear that very well.
What kind of dog?
It's a small little chihuahua. He's laying down over there.
He's laying down?
Huh?
He's laying down?
Yeah. It used to belong to the neighbors that lived over here, but they left, and they left him there. And we feed him.
He let you put a leash on him?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a leash, and then you do it for me, because he's not used to me. All right?
Go ahead.
1074, DL Chihuahua doesn't seem that scary.
Jeez, I'm the worst one sometimes.
This one seems pretty calm.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to code 4, which lets everybody know I'm good. So if you can push that green button for me.
This one?
Yep, there you go. And then I'm going to call Animal Control to come out to our location, and they will come pick up the dog.
Officer Ruff put the Chihuahua in the back seat, and we waited for Animal Control. It took 30 minutes. Once you're assigned to a call, you have to stay, no matter how long it takes.
I mean, I guess there's no way you'd respond to another incident right now with a dog.
we're out of
commission.
Yep. Get the dog secured. Can you start Animal Control?
10-4.
All right. So this is where it's a bunch of hurry up and wait.
We sat there and talked about Wisconsin, where his family still lives, and his children. They kept texting throughout the day, group chats about dinner tonight and job applications and football games. He didn't answer most of them, but I would see them come in while he was typing on his computer or on the radio. By this point, it was 1 o'clock, and I was starving, but I certainly wasn't going to say anything. Finally, an Animal Control officer showed up.
Come here, Bubba.
Brother, man.
Give me your little one. You want to pick him up?
And we'll scan around his body.
The Animal Control officer was trying to figure out if the dog was microchipped when the dog snapped.
One more, for it.
You need a dog?
No, not after I said that. Just confirmed all my thoughts about.
Wow. Oh my God!
That was like, a quick little.
Do I
want? Woof!
I don't know if I want a dog anymore. Boy, he scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
All right. 14-year-old female is conscious and breathing.
14.
Yeah, we're going to go to that. See what's going on here. So let's clear this call. And then,
incident assigned.
5908.
So you just know that there's a 14-year-old who took pills.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Has been updated.
Why wouldn't they stop?
Somebody's, that's a good question.
We weren't far from the middle school, and for the first time all day, Officer Ruff put on his lights and sirens. I'd always thought that when an officer is responding to any call, they have their lights on. That's not the case. It's actually a very strict procedure for when you use lights, when you use sirens. You can get in a lot of trouble for using them when you're not supposed to. We were the first to show up. We parked in front of the main entrance. 100 kids were playing out in the yard, soccer, running around. I stayed in the car for this one. 35 minutes later, Officer Ruff came back out. He said the girl was going to be okay. She'd taken too many Tylenol, but he didn't think it was a suicide attempt. Her mother had arrived and would take her to the doctor. A lot of calls were starting to pile up that needed attention. Officer Ruff checked them on his computer in his car. It seemed like they were all priorities.
Where are we headed now?
We are headed to that trespass urgent at the Hampton Inn. It's a hotel located not too far from here.
What does that mean, trespass urgent?
Trespass urgent is when a subject, male or female, is at a facility and they want them to leave and they refuse to leave.
Support for Criminal comes from Ritual. Ritual's Essential for Women is a multivitamin with an ingredients label you can trust. Ritual uses a delayed-release design in their capsules. That means your body absorbs what it needs when it needs it. That also makes it easy on your stomach, and you don't even need to take it with food. And while some vitamins smell terrible, Ritual puts a peppermint oil-infused tab in each bottle that keeps each bottle smelling fresh. Ritual's Essential for Women works to support your brain, bones, and red blood cells, and it's USP verified, meaning the ingredients label matches exactly what's inside, so you know what you're putting in your body. I've been taking Ritual every day for a few months now. My favorite things about it are that it doesn't smell or taste like other vitamins, and that it has omega-3 DHA and vitamin D3. Ritual's Essential for Women 18+ is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/criminal. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18+ to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/criminal for 25% off. Support for Criminal comes from Seed Health. I've been taking their probiotic, which is actually both a probiotic and a prebiotic, so they call it a symbiotic, every day for months now. Their DSO1 daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 small capsules a day. Developed in collaboration with a scientific board guided by the latest in probiotic research, Seed's daily supplement offers a slow but steady approach to restoring a healthy gut microbiome. No miracles required. Trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/criminal and use code 25criminal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/criminal. Code 25criminal.
Do you think that people are scared of you, of police officers?
Scared? I think some are. I don't think scared in the sense of, you know, fear, like a, you know, like a monster or anything like that, but more, there's a natural fear, like, you know, what did I do wrong, and am I going to go to jail? And of course, what's been going on throughout the country with the shootings and stuff like that, you know, a lot of mothers and fathers are concerned about their kids, so they're kind of hyper vigilant about that. And I think there's a segment of society that probably is scared of, you know, what could happen under certain situations. But
how has that impacted you as a police officer just in your day-to-day life?
Well, I'm a father, and I have kids, and, you know, I try to teach them what to do when encountered by a police officer so that, you know, so there's a, you know, I think any parent, I'm not fearful, of course, but, you know, there's a concern that when you have your child is pulled over, and I just teach them what to do to make sure that the turnout is safe.
And you teach them that even as a police officer yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I say, you know, when you get stopped, you know, keep your hands where they can see them. You know, make it where the encounter is not one where somebody is nervous because you're doing a bunch of, you know, reaching around and stuff like that. Just wait until the officer tells you to do something, and then do exactly what the officer tells you.
Are you worried? Are you worried about it?
Do I worry about my own personal kids?
Yeah.
I don't I don't worry about it, but I address it. So, no, I don't worry about it. I feel pretty secure that if they're encountered by the police, they know what to do.
Two cop cars is not what I want to see when I'm checking into my hotel with my family.
I would agree with that.
Can I bring this?
Yes, yes.
Hello.
Hi, I'll be right with you.
Okay.
When we got to the Hampton Inn for the trespass urgent call, the woman at the front desk asked us to wait a minute while she finished helping someone with a question about the coffee maker in his room. All day, I was surprised how nonchalant so many people were about the police. The hotel manager came out and told us that a homeless man was camping under the hotel sign. He said the man had been there for a while, that it wasn't his first time, and he wanted him to move on.
I messed up my knee. I'm in pain.
I already have a CTA.
Because this particular man had been formally warned about trespassing on this property before.
No.
He was going to be arrested.
So now this guy's on top of the front of the hood of the car, being searched. And before he goes to jail. He doesn't look very good. He looks really weak. They're checking all of his pockets now. He has $6. Now he's getting in the car.
It was the first time all day that someone had been in the back seat of the car.
Where do we go now?
Now we go to the county jail, which is downtown.
3:15. So you're at this point, you know you'll work later than...
Yes. Yes. It just comes with the job. Idle 101.
New waiting incident.
911.
95, criminal trespass. En route to Travis County. And confirming the warrants for me.
New message.
Is there, so all people who've been arrested go to the county jail?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Travis County Jail.
I wasn't allowed to record or even bring my phone in. Officer Ruff even had to leave his phone and his gun and pepper spray in the car before he brought the man in. You enter into a big open room. There were no jail bars. And after the man had been searched and put into a jail uniform, Officer Ruff took him back to the nurse's station. I was left to watch what was going on all around me. Most of the people there seemed quiet. They would be called one by one to have their photo taken and be fingerprinted. There was a payphone in the middle of the room. It was cold, and a lot of people pulled their arms inside their uniforms to stay warm. A woman was brought in. She was yelling. I wasn't sure if she was drunk. She kept saying it was all a conspiracy. They kept her in handcuffs. Finally, Officer Ruff emerged with a man. He put his street clothes back on. I didn't know what was going on or why the guy wasn't in his uniform anymore. Officer Ruff motioned to me that it was time to go.
What happened?
He, when he was assessed by the nurse, he had some lung problems. And so if the nurse feels that it's more than they can handle at the jail, then we'll send him to the hospital, let them check him out, and then he can come back after he's been seen by the hospital. So
What does that mean for you?
That means the time that would have been spent here booking and the arrest review would be extended out because now I have to transport him to the hospital from the wait while he's being seen and then transport him back to the jail to get rebooked, seen by the nurse again, and then go to arrest review and all that. So it prolongs the time that this is going to take. So
I couldn't bring my microphone into the hospital either. We parked in the ambulance bay and walked through the emergency room. The man's handcuffs were back on. His nose was running, but he couldn't wipe it because of the handcuffs. Officer Ruff helped him take his shirt off and put on the hospital gown. And then the three of us waited for the doctor. At 7 p.m., I left. I had to go back to North Carolina. I asked Officer Ruff how long he'd stay, and he said he didn't know, as long as it took. A lot of his work is waiting, and he's good at it. He's patient. In my 10 hours with him, we met a dozen people. And most of these people are not the ones you would see on the show Cops. This wasn't a violent or dramatic day. It was just a day.
Do you ever think, you know, in some people, there are some jobs where at the end of the day, you can see what you've done, and, you know, if you're a carpenter, you see what you've built.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How this job, you never really...
You can get, you can definitely be jaded in your opinion about, are we doing any good here? You know, your job is to do what you do, take your calls. If they're supposed to, if they're supposed to be arrested, then you arrest, so... Do your job. Keep it moving.
Criminal is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Teresa Katsourilis is our assistant producer. Audio mix by Rob Byers. Special thanks to Mary Helen Montgomery. Julian Alexander makes original illustrations for each episode of Criminal. You can see them at thisiscriminal.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Criminal Show. Criminal is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. I'm Phoebe Judge. This is Criminal.
Radiotopia.